Socrates 3, The Trial of Faith. The widow, having served but half the assembly, shall continue serving tea all day, without rest. She shall move among them ceaselessly with a tray of a half dozen mugs at a time, taken by hands of men who do not thank her or acknowledge her, whom none help. And as some are served, others are asking her for more. So she shall have no rest. Winthrop does not observe her fatigue. Herewith follows the transcript of the entire trial that day and its conclusion. Magistrate John Winthrop. Mrs. Coxwell, you are called here again as one that troubles the peace of the Commonwealth and the churches here. You are known to be a woman that hath been instrument in the promoting of opinions that are the cause of this trouble, that you have spoken divers things, as we have been informed, heretical and prejudicial to truth, that you have maintained a meeting and assembly in your house that hath been condemned by the General Assembly as a thing not tolerable, nor comely in the sight of God, nor fitting for your sex. And notwithstanding that was cried down, you have continued the same. Therefore, thinking it well for you to understand how things are, to show to you your error, that we may reduce you, that you may become a profitable member here among us, we have previously met with you, prior to this trial, in private concourse for the good of your soul. You did then profess and admit error, and proffered penitence. It was accepted by us in good faith. However, we are told in dutiful testimony by your counselor, the Reverend Cotton, that you recant this. Is this so? Mrs. Faith Coxwell. In penitence for having harmed anyone, I do still solemnly attest I am steadfast. But for the offense of my opinions, which offense is only dispute, I cannot be penitent. I cannot yield to a judgment that is unjust, nor shall I admit to untruths. Winthrop. If you be obstinate, then the court may take such course that you may trouble us no further. Therefore, I would entreat you to express whether you do assent, and hold in practice to those opinions and factions that have been handled in court already. Coxwell. I am called here to answer before you, but I hear no things laid to my charge specifically. I have told you some already, and more I can tell you. Name one, sir. Have I not named some already? What have I said or done? Why, for your doings, this you did harbor and countenance those that are parties in this faction that you have heard of. What faction? Heretics and witches? The midwife forenamed? Mr. Williams, the Quakeress who has fled, the very one to whom you have countenanced to keep your daughter, whom I declare we shall rescue even now. You shall take my daughter. We shall preserve her unto Christ. You shall have my body before you shall have my child. We shall have both, and thy soul also. Only that my soul shall leave my body. We are thy fathers. We are thy church. We are the portal unto thy God, and shall preserve thee, as we shall preserve thy children, shouldst thou yield thy pride and confess thy error, my child. You are not my father. My child is mine. Do you forsake your God? By my conscience I keep my God. Your conscience you must keep, or it must be kept for you. I must keep my conscience. Conscience is not license. Conscience is entrusted thee by God to obey him. I shall obey him. I shall not obey thee. We are thy masters to the church, the elect. Do you dispute? I want no man between me and my God. I need no man to think or speak for me, nor woman. I am myself, my own whole conscience, perfect and complete as my God created me, and a soul like any soul, not better or worse, and not male or female, not civilized or savage, but seeking my God, naturally. Faith, Coxwell, beware. Thou givest evidence against thyself. My name is Faith Ashley, sir, and by my conscience I speak the truth. By my revelation, as my God sees me and I see him. Your arrogant denial of your marriage is yet another error, but trivial among the matters to which we must first attend. But do not compound your jeopardy with insolence, Goody Coxwell. What law have I transgressed? Your insolence is transgression. The meetings at which you presume to preach is transgression. It is written, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Mrs. Coxwell. If the Lord wished women to be silent, how then is it written, now after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he hath said these things to her. Thus, if not for a woman's testimony, the gospel should not be known to man. Winthrop. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So saith the word of God. Mrs. Coxwell. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. So saith the word of God. Your obstinacy is not to be suffered. We find your course greatly prejudicial to the community. You seduce many honest persons that are called to your meetings by your opinions. Your opinions are known to be different from the word of God, and they seduce many simple souls that resort unto you. Moreover, your opinions, held as teachings, instruct neglect of the church, of tithe, of community. We see misrule in this. Coxwell. Sir, I do not believe that to be so. I only teach conscience. Well, we see how it is. We must therefore put it away from you, or else restrain you from maintaining this course. If you have a rule for it from God's word, you may. We are your judges, and not you ours, and we must compel you to it. If it please you by authority to put it down, I will freely let you, for I am subject to your authority. Deputy Governor Thomas Dudley. Witnesses were called. You have denied them, They have been proven, though you deny them, but it is clear. These heresies have been extolled by you, have been promoted by you expressly in your meetings, more especially since become clandestine once we had condemned the lewd meetings. You have argued that there is no inherent righteousness in a child of God, that neither absolute nor conditional promises belong to a Christian, that we are not bound to the law, not as a rule, that the Sabbath is but as other days, that the soul is mortal and the body also, that there is no resurrection of the body. Coxwell, prove that I said so. Winthrop, did you say so? Coxwell, no, sir. It is your conclusion. Dudley, what do I do if you deny what is so fully proved? Winthrop, let her state her case. Then we may know what to do. Dudley, let her witnesses be called. Winthrop, who be they? Coxwell, Mr. Brighton, Mr. Cotton, and Mr. Lenthal. Winthrop, Mr. Cotton has spoken. You cannot expect him to perjure himself. And Mr. Lenthal has been corrected by Mr. Cotton. He was not present. Was he present? Mr. Cotton, if you please, sir, yes? Winthrop, it is not admitted. He cannot testify. Mr. Lenthal, sir, I was present. I only desired to be silent until I should be called. Winthrop, will you, Mr. Lenthal, say to this court that she did not say these heresies? Lenthal, yes, I dare say. She did not say what you lay against her. Winthrop, how dare you look into the court to say such a word? Lenthal, if I shall be forbidden, I shall be silent. Mr. Strouthen, assistant to the court, but do you say that she intended what we have charged? Through indirection, through connivance? Winthrop, Mr. Britton, sir, tell us plainly what were her words. I pray you speak. Mr. Britton, to my remembrance, when we did visit her and entreated her with affection concerning these matters, Mr. Cotton did with much vehemence urge her to tell us upon what basis she preached, how she might lawfully usurp the elders, beseeching her to subservience, but she persisted, adamant. But it is, sir, as Mr. Lenthal says, and so I believe Mr. Cotton would so affirm. She spake not the heresies that you put into her mouth, but Winthrop, but what words, sir? What did she say in plain words? Britton, she said as much as she had taught when otherwise I was present. Just this. There are and can be only two ways of searching into and discovering truth. The first is by axiom, which finds facts. The second is by facts, which finds axiom. The first is averse to experience, the senses in particulars, but assumes its principles and the truth of it, axiomatic, presumes itself settled and immovable, proceeds to judgment and to the discovery of what is real. That is the way now in fashion. It is the method of authority. In the alternative, axioms are derived from experience, the senses and particulars. And so by rising, by a gradual and unbroken accumulation of a certain weight of fact, an axiom may be revealed, though articulated diffidently, and subject to skeptical consideration in all cases. This, she told us, is the interpretation of nature. Coxwell, if the court please, Give me leave, and I shall give you the ground for what I know to be true. Man is a servant of nature. He can do and understand so much, and so much only, as he has observed by experience, by senses and particulars. Thus he must interpret nature. Beyond this interpretation, he neither knows anything nor can do anything. I bless the Lord, he hath let me see which is the clear ministry and which the wrong. Now, if you do condemn me for speaking what is my conscience, what I know to be to the truth, I must commit myself unto the Lord. Mr. Nowell, assistant to the court, this is in error. Truth is witnessed wholly by the Spirit. Your witness by the eyes, by the senses, is corrupt, for it is written, Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for him that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. There shall be no interpretation of nature, so called, except through the Spirit of God. For it is written, Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Coxwell. That which I call interpretation of nature, I do admit. It is reason, which is elicited from facts, a true and methodical process. And it is the revelation of our fathers. It is the revelation that is Christ's. Thus Solomon wrote a book upon his observations about plants, not only of the great cedars of Lebanon, but of the little bits of things growing in the cracks of the wall. The ordinance of nature are the revelation of God. It is to his honor that we know them and understand them, for it is written in Jeremiah, Thus says the Lord, who give the sun for a light of day, the ordinance of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar. And again, let us remember how Christ told his disciples, Consider the lilies, how they grow, and compared their beauty to Solomon in all his glory. Now, whose revelation am I to take, yours or Christ's? Dudley, what is the scripture she brings? Hallarkenden, recorded to the court. I may read scripture, and the most glorious hypocrite may read them and yet go down to hell. Replying to Deputy Governor Dudley. Coxwell, it may be so. To herself. Winthrop, Daniel was delivered by miracle. Do you think to be delivered so too? Coxwell, I look that the Lord should deliver me by his providence. It is said, Though thou should meet with affliction, yet I am the same God that delivered Daniel out of the lion's den. I will also deliver thee. Winthrop. I am persuaded that the revelation she brings forth is delusion. All the jury, but some two or three, cry out. We all believe it. We all believe. Mrs. Coxwell was found guilty. Winthrop. The court hath already declared themselves satisfied concerning the things you hear, concerning the troublesomeness of her spirit and the danger of her course amongst us, which is not to be suffered. Therefore, if it be the mind of the court that Mrs. Coxwell for these things that appear before us is unfit for our society, and if it be the mind of the court that she shall be banished out of our liberties and imprisoned till she be sent away, let them hold up their hands. All but three did so. Winthrop. Mrs. Coxwell, the sentence of the court you hear is that you are banished from out of our jurisdiction as being a woman not fit for our society, and are to be imprisoned till the court shall send you away. Coxwell, I desire to know wherefore I am banished. Winthrop, say no more. The court knows wherefore, and is satisfied. Shall you repent now? Shall you yield? Shall you at last renounce your error? Coxwell, I do advocate no principles but that each seek truth by conscience, as conscience speaks to them privately, as conscience is their private revelation, as conscience is to each alike that pestering voice we cannot escape, and which we must attend to, or either be dumb or become insane. It is the voice of nature, that there is no life but this that is before me, nor resurrection is derived from the communication with the voice of nature which speaks to us when we address it responsively with the voice of our own nature. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. That there is no innocence, nor sin, no law, nor transgression is also derived from that revelation. It is an insight of illumination, a refuge in the midst of alien wilderness, a parting found in the wide forest where one emerges walking into a pool of luminous warmth from out of that cold, dark place, stepping upon a lush meadow where doe and fawn lie peaceably with the beasts of prey. For by nature, we are equal creatures. As all is dust, each no more blessed than any, except as all are blessed. By nature, we are created brothers and sisters, children of God. And if the stones and flowers and beasts are empty of soul, then I am also empty of soul. But if I have a soul, as I do believe, then so do each and all have souls. If each and all have souls, if each and all possess the nature of God within them, then there is no struggle of evil between them. There is no Satan in the world. Therefore, death is not an evil, but it is natural. Death is not my enemy, but my share of a life, which I cherish, and I do not fear it. I do not see anarchy in nature. I see harmony and beauty. For all of this, I love my God and worship Him. Winthrop. Of the woman came the beginning of sin, and through her we all die.